All right, our Old Testament scripture reading today comes from the book of Amos, chapter 8, verses 1 through 12. That is from the prophet Amos, chapter 8, verses 1 through 12, which can be found on page 856 of your Red Pew Bibles, or up on the screen. The prophet gives us an account of what will happen to those nations and those people who do not listen to the call of the needy by stretching out their hand in welcome and support. Let us read. This is what the Lord God showed me, a basket of summer fruit. He said, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then the Lord said to me, the end has come upon my people Israel. I will never again pass them by. The songs of the temple shall become wailings in that day, says the Lord. The dead bodies shall be many, cast out in every place. Be silent. Hear this, you that trample on the needy and bring ruin to the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath so that we may offer wheat for sale? We will make the ephah small and the shekel great, and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and selling the sweepings of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. Shall not the land tremble on this account, and everyone mourn who lives in it? And all of it rise like the Nile and be tossed about and sink again like the Nile of Egypt. On that day, says the Lord God, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. I will turn your feasts into mourning and all your songs into lamentation. I will bring sackcloth on all loins and baldness on every head. I will make it like the mourning for an only son and the end of it like a bitter day. The time is surely coming, says the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro seeking the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. Here ends the first scripture reading. Our New Testament scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. That is the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. It can be found in the New Testament of your few Bibles on page 72. Hear and believe the word of the Lord. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. The word of the Lord.
I was honored when your pastor invited me to substitute for him when he was on vacation. I've met this congregation, as Peter has told you before, but I have not been back since he's been the pastor. So I'm a city boy. I love the city, and I live right in the heart of the city. And so I know you come downtown every once in a while for the Fulton Theater or the Ware Center or some other things that we have. I live there, and I love it. And so when it came time after I retired to find a new church home, which I needed desperately, I chose a city church. And I'm grateful to be I'm dressed up like my Episcopal colleagues are. I worship at St. James Episcopal Church these days and enjoy it very much. I walk to church every Sunday. But in 2011, I was the liaison to this congregation as you began the search for a new pastor. I'll give you a little bit more background than Peter gave. If you're new to the Presbyterian Church, what we like to say is in the Presbyterian Church, we do everything decently and in order, which also means long and involved. So I was the liaison, and the committee was doing its work and doing it very well. There was no problem there. And then they came upon this PIF, personal information form, from a man who was serving in Moscow, Russia. That's a long way away from here. And the problem for the committee was it was not only long for him to get here, it was expensive for him to get here. And the question was, should they pay that kind of money to find or just look locally? Well, as so happened, Pastor Bronkema was visiting family in this area. But the Committee on Ministry doesn't move as fast as needed to happen. He was here visiting, and the committee wanted to interview him. But decently and in order, he had to be interviewed first by the Committee on Ministry. If you think about it, it's a good thing, because before people get all involved in a person, the Committee on Ministry has the opportunity to check backgrounds and be sure everything's okay in the presbytery from which he's coming. And he wasn't even in a presbytery. He was in the Protestant chaplaincy in Moscow. And to be sure everything's okay there, to have their own assessment of the candidate and his ability to meet the needs of the congregation, and then to bring him to the committee for an interview. Now, normally, that takes several weeks. That's where I stepped in. I could see the committee's problem. And so, having had almost 20 years of experience with the presbytery, I persuaded them to go decently, but a little faster than we normally do. We met as a committee on ministry. I think it was the day of the interview with Pastor Bronkema. We cleared him for interviews. The committee did their job. Then the Holy Spirit stepped in. And 8 years later, Pastor Bronkema is your pastor. But it was just a few months later that he was actually your pastor. So I'm grateful for this congregation. You have the flexibility to move and do things, even if it's not decently and in order. You have the flexibility to meet the needs of the people where you are quickly. And I was honored to serve, and I was happy that 20 years of experience and the power of the Holy Spirit helped us to get that done. This morning, we're dealing with focusing on the topic of learning how to pay attention to our lives. Someone sent me a cute story this week, knowing that I was preaching on this text, about two Bible college students who were sent to the Deep South to experience the poverty of the Deep South, but Bible colleges tend to be more evangelistic, and to take the Word of God to the people who needed it most. So they were making their rounds in the city, in the community that they were serving in, knocking on doors. And they came to one door, and they knocked on it, and they could see through the screen a woman who was busy doing the wash by hand. And they finally got the woman's attention, and she said, "How can I help you?" And she said, "Well, we'd like to help you. We'd like to share how you can gain eternal life." With sweat dripping from her brow and six children running around her feet, she says, "Oh, thank you, boys, but I don't think I could stand that." It's quite possible that the woman's feelings of that day, we can feel that way sometimes. We live in a fast-paced world. Things change overnight in a 24-hour news cycle. And it's difficult sometimes to keep up. There are also some people who measure the worth of their lives by the fact that they are no longer full of things that they used to do, things they used to be able to do, and they feel worthless and rejected. Mark Buchanan, in his book, The Rest of God, says that the Chinese symbol, Chinese character for heart, and the other is for killing. And so he says, really, busyness is expressed in the Chinese symbol for heart and for killing. So really, busyness is killing the heart. So how do we keep from killing our hearts in our 21st century culture? What is the antidote to the things to do in our culture which keeps us from hearing and receiving the cries of the poor? By what justification do we keep children caged and separate families, sometimes never to be reunited again? Is it because they don't look like us or act like us? Is it because they weren't born here and they are not middle class and they have few privileges that we have simply because we were born on this side of the border? Are we so busy that we can't see the people behind the problem? Are we so busy that we cannot treat people humanely? This morning I want to suggest to you that the antidote is found in our scripture lesson from Amos. Be silent. And from Luke, choose the better part. When Amos was writing his prophecy, he was writing it to people, to both the northern and the southern tribes of Israel. The northern tribes, 10 tribes were Israel. The southern 2 tribes were Judah. They were living in a time of prosperity. Their crops were good. Their wealth was strong. And Amos is warning them that if they don't pay attention to the cries of the poor, they are in danger of losing everything, not just their souls, but their material wealth as well. The Israelites had become distracted by a lavish lifestyle and a belief that they were superior. These were the good times in the life of Israel. And his words are a reminder that God's wrath does not last forever if they are willing to turn from their wicked ways and give their allegiance to God. In verses 2 and 3 of Amos 8, 1, 2, and 3, this is what the Lord God showed me, a basket of summer fruit. That's a good image, isn't it? And especially at this time of year. A basket of summer fruit. He said to me, the Lord said to Amos, what do you see? And Amos said, a basket of summer fruit. Then the Lord said to me, the end has come upon my people Israel. The good times are almost coming to an end. And I will never again pass them by. The songs of the temple shall become the wailings in that day. The dead bodies shall be many, cast out in every place. Be silent. be silent. In the busy world in which we live, we find it difficult to be silent, don't we? So much is coming at us, people talking at us, the television talking at us, the news cycle coming at us. We find it difficult to sit still. As Psalm 46 says, be still and know that I am God. Be silent. Have you ever had the kind of experience with someone whom you love, someone whom you deeply love? There are different kinds of silence in intimate relationships, aren't there? There's the silence of anger, when you are so angry with someone that whom you love and you're afraid to speak for fear that you'll just make matters worse. There's the silence that comes from having nothing to say after years of not communicating with each other. There is the silence that comes when you don't have to say a word because you're so close to that other person that it is almost like your hearts are beating as one. Perhaps it is a good cry after you that has cleansed you and your lover is holding you in an attempt to comfort you. Perhaps it is a moment of awe when you just stand and look at the moon and sunset together. You don't need to say anything. You just want to be with the one that you love in the intimacy of doing nothing and being still, being silent with each other. When my mother was dying, my son provided me with the holy moment like that. Some of you may know him. He's an actor in Lancaster County, and these days, I when I introduce myself, I often get, "Are you Tim Riggs' dad?" Well, for 40 years, he had to live with, "Are you Randy Riggs' son?" I think I can stand a few years of being Tim Riggs' dad. I'm very proud of him. He came to visit my mom, and he knelt beside her bed. She was not communicating anymore. So he just began to tell her all the things that she meant to him, all the things that he remembered about her. The cuddling in bed with her on vacations, the candy jar filled to overflowing in her house when we would come and visit, the trips to the beach in Southern California where she lived, and to Disneyland. He went on for about 15 minutes, and then he sang her a song, a hymn, actually. It's a song that's used in contemporary worship called Humble King. I'll spare you the singing it, but I will read the words. Oh, kneel me down again here at your feet. Show me how much you love humility. Oh, Spirit, be the star that leads me to the humble heart of love I see in you. You are the God of the broken, the friend of the weak. You wash the feet of the weary, embrace the ones in need. I want to be like you, Jesus, to have this heart in me. You are the God of the humble. You are the humble King. When he had finished, we sat there in silence. My mom breathing some of her last breaths. It was clearly present to us that the Spirit of God hovered in that place, carrying her to her new home and supporting us as we lost the one we loved. We could have busied ourselves. There were cold compresses to be placed on her head and green sponges to swab out her mouth. But we both need to know, or we both seem to know, that God was carrying her home. God was God, and we were not. And it was good. Be silent. That's the advice of the prophet. It is good advice. It is the first antidote to the many distractions which keep us from experiencing the love of God. The second antidote to the busyness of our times is the story of Mary and Martha. There is Martha trying to be a good hostess. I know there are many of you like that, whether you're the host or the hostess, or you're trying to take care of your guests. Hospitality was her gift, and she was using it to take care of Jesus. There were feet to be washed, food to be prepared and served, beverages to be poured. There was a lot, it was a lot for one person to do. And yet there sat her, Martha's sister Mary, at the feet of Jesus, soaking up his every word. It was not a usual place for a woman in that culture. They were the servants, the ones who took care of the needs of the guests. Yet, Martha wanted help. And so she asked Jesus, you know, can't you direct my sister? And when Martha was critical of her, Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her. Again, Mark Buchanan describes what it means to choose the better part. He writes in his journal, yesterday it rained hard all day, a gray, sullen downpour that at times flooded the windshields faster than the wipers could sweep, so that you had to pull over and wait for the sky to ease its anger or sorrow. But this morning dawned clean and bright. Everything glowed. And I rose early. Before I lit a fire in the wood stove, I clambered onto the roof and cleaned the chimney flue, pulled a wire brisk down, sending plumes of soot into the crisp morning air. And then I snaked my arm down the chimney's lower cavity and scraped the barnacles from the creosote from it. Then I showered, kissed my children goodbye as they left for school, and then my wife and I drove to a coffee shop and got a warm cinnamon buns and mugs of rich coffee, and we stirred in cream until the coffee was a nutty brown. We saw three friends and spoke to each of them. We sat in the corner table, a table strewn with sun patches, and we talked at leisure about our children, about what we had read in the Bible that morning, about how the day might unfold. Then we walked into the bright morning. I kissed my wife, told her she was lovely, and set out to walk home. While she took the van to run some errands, I greeted people as I went. Some I knew, some I didn't. A woman in front of me at the train station was sweeping the maple leaves, dry as parchment, that lay in thick drifts across the pavement. I stopped and chatted with her. We both agreed that the day was a gift, not to be wasted. I was in no hurry. I prayed, I sang, I listened, I watched. All that time, I never earned a cent. I didn't write a word. I didn't build anything. The world was no richer for my passing through it. But I am far richer. Far richer for not missing it. What happens when we listen to our lives, when we pay attention? When we really pay attention to the cries of the poor? When we really pay attention to the needs of our community? When we really pay attention to the people with whom we live and whom we love? What happens when we're silent long enough to allow the Spirit of God to move into our lives? Be still and know that God is God. Be still. Be silent. And when it comes to making decisions about how to use your time, choose the right portion. The portion which will lead you even closer to the feet of Jesus. Let us pray. Take these words now, O God, and where they have hit a note in the lives of the people who have heard them, plant them deeply there, that we may respond with gracious gratitude to all that you have given us in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.